following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I need to archive emails to comply with business regulations.
Do you have an IT guy to help search through thousands of PST files?
No.
Got time to install a complicated product or create detailed reports?
No.
You okay paying storage fees to save duplicate emails and images?
No.
Offshore automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Message Archiver lets you store and find emails fast to avoid compliance and litigation penalties. Easy setup and single instance storage will save you time and money. And if you need help, you'll talk to a live human. Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Listen up, my friends. This commercial's got some real stopping power. This May, NAPA is offering up to a $50 mail-in rebate card with a purchase of qualifying brake products. NAPA brakes are built to the highest quality standards and designed to improve stopping in all conditions. So you can stop on a dime, rain or shine. So hurry, or should I say stop, into your local NAPA auto parts store or auto care center. Visit NAPA online for details. Offer expires 531.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And an option to the right, Tommy on the keep, turns the corner, 25-30. Eludes a tackler, 35. Tommy Frazier, 37, 38, 39, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. He's going to go. Holy cow. Touchdown, Tommy Frazier.
It's official, everyone. Good morning. The Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug, you're back in studio with you today, where moments ago it was officially announced that Tommy Frazier will be a member of the 2013 College Football Hall of Fame. Many people believing it was way overdue. And by many people, I don't mean Nebraska people. CBS Sports, all over. ESPN, all over. There are columnists and articles that are out there about how Frazier should have been in long, long ago, and some of them saying it's a byproduct of how good Nebraska happened to be at the time. We will talk with Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, later on in the program today about Tommy Frazier and about getting into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, the amazing thing is, I sit here in 2013, producer Jeff, this happened 18 years ago. Do you remember watching Tommy Frazier play?
To be completely honest, no. The first quarterback I truly remember was Scott Frost, 96.
See, and that's just pointing. It's astonishing to me as I was reading sports this morning. It just seems like, okay, I say Tommy Frazier, everybody's going to know who that is. No, you're not. If you're 25, you may not even have any idea. You might know who he is, and you see him, and you're a Husker fan, but you never really saw him play, and you never got to see his career, and I guess that's all part of the aging process, but it just seems like it was almost yesterday for Tommy Frazier to be doing the things that he did and how he almost did not come to Lincoln. I mean, he was up there. Colorado really had a good hold on him, but we'll talk about all of that with Steve Sipple and how Coach Osborne and his crew recruited Tommy Frazier. Because let's remember, Nebraska was coming off what could have been the end of the, I don't even want to say dynasty, but the end of the glory days at the time. They had just got waxed by Georgia Tech, and they had struggled. They were struggling, and this is when Coach Osborne says, we need speed, we need this, we need that. They were still winning games, but they weren't getting to the next level. They were losing the last game or two of the season, and tough. I mean, they lost to Miami. They lost to Georgia Tech, and right after that loss to Miami, where it wasn't very pretty, and, of course, because we went to the Orange Bowl, Miami, being the chickens that they were, they just stayed home and took the easy, you can say, easier path, and Nebraska just didn't have the athletes at the time for a couple of those matchups, and Miami thumped them. Defense was pretty good, but the offense just couldn't generate it. And Frazier comes in and leads Nebraska to two national championships, a field goal away from really three of them. And so Tommy Frazier's in. Also on the show today, state soccer preview continues with Grand Island's Jeremy Jensen. We'll catch up with Paul Henry. He's the track coach at Loup City. Districts begin tomorrow. I'll be up with Loup City bringing you updates all day long on Classic Hits 98.9. Mike Will will be in Kennesaw for the D5, and you'll have updates all afternoon long on the Breeze 94.5 FM. So A and D tomorrow. B and C will be going on coming up on Thursday. I'll be down at Southern Valley for the C-10 meet, and Mike will be over at the Sandy Creek District bringing you action. And then, of course, complete coverage Friday the 17th and Saturday the 18th from the State High School Track and Field Competition in Omaha. So we'll talk with him. Plus, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, and we'll hear from Tim Flaherty. He is the senior executive of the USGA. That's where I was yesterday in Omaha for a U.S. Senior Open Media Day. Pretty cool event. All the ties and vests were there to say good things about Omaha and the course. And now it's all about, of course, getting ready for the tournament, which begins on July the 11th. And first time I had an opportunity to play on a course that they're hosting a major at. And I think there's going to be so much newness for Nebraska. I mean, let's face it, this is the biggest golf event that's ever even come close to being held in the state of Nebraska. And 150,000 is what they're expecting. 2 million in donations and money coming rolled in. Records being broken. It'll be interesting to see what they do on that course. So check that out. If you can, July 11th through the 14th, the U.S. Senior Open at the Omaha Country Club. Very hilly. Very, very hilly. My first opportunity to actually be on the course at the Omaha Country Club. Very, very hilly, but I think also very gettable for some of the pros out there. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question of the day. Which NBA second-round series are you most looking forward to watching? Yesterday, 38% of you said the Heat Bulls, 31% said the Thunder Grizzly, only 8% said Spurs Warriors, really? I kind of think that'll be the most competitive, Knicks Pacers maybe. And here's what I've got to say to all of you about the Bulls. I said it before, I said at the beginning of the season, who cares if the Heat goes 16-0 in the postseason? This is media needing something to talk about. Shut up with the Chicago Bulls. Congratulations, good win last night. You have no chance of winning this series. Good heart, good desire. Good job. Maybe you're going to make it more interesting than it should be. So you won game one. That makes us talk about it. I mean, if the Heat win, are we talking about the Bulls possibly winning game two and possibly making this? No, we're not. So just zip it. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question of the day today at ESPNSuperstation.com. Which local team has the best chance of winning a state soccer title? Kearney Boys, Grand Island Boys, Hastings Boys, Hastings Girls. And I know there's more out there, but those are the ones that are on the poll question today. We went out of the Tri-Cities. Which team has the best chance of winning the state soccer title? Vote today on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. State soccer fields set, state baseball fields set, and this week we set the field for the state track meets, and we're pleased to welcome in Loup City track coach, and that is, of course, Paul Henry with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're getting just enough wetness today to get that dirt to settle. That's going to be a perfect day tomorrow, Paul.
I tell you what, there's not supposed to be very much wind, which will be about a first this year. And we have rugs and tarps over all the throwing areas, and everything's ready to go for tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow the pole vault will get going at 9:30. First round of field events at 10. Then a second round will follow that, and then we'll begin our running events at 12:30. Let me start there because this is a question I've started to ask some of the coaches, Paul, is that there is no uniform directive from the state that says this is how we're going to run our district tournament. Sometimes there's field events. We run some prelims. We do some field events. There's about three or four different ways to do it. Why did you guys choose this way, and what's the advantages and disadvantages to it?
I tell you what, we have done it this way primarily. We follow the same format that we do with our conference, Loup Platte Conference, and it's worked there. And you know, obviously, that's a big conference meet, and when we run off districts, we don't have nearly as many competitors, and you know, it's really kind of what we've done with. We went over. Ansley hosted last year, We've never been involved in one of those districts that does split it in half. We've seen those before. So it just kind of goes with the old thing of what's worked in the past. We stay with it.
Yeah, and again, the only thing for me personally, I don't care which way they do it. I know that when I go cover a meet, there's a little bit more information when they split the field events. But I just wondered if there was an advantage or a disadvantage either way, because I guess I don't see it. I know that if you're doing some of those long jumps, triple jumps, and then you got to go run the 100 prelim, that can kind of take away from some of the athletes.
Yeah, and in some cases, here for us in Loup City, we've kind of been known as a field team and not always a track team. And so we want to get those field events while we're fresh. So maybe we're looking for our own, advantage right there in the field events. But, yeah, you're right. If you happen to have a jumper that had to be a distance runner, and you split it, you might take the legs out from under them. So, doing the field events first, really works out. And by the way, our pole vault, we did move it up to 10 o'clock instead of 9:30 because we only have two girls and five boys in the pole vault tomorrow.
Okay, 10 o'clock go time. Let's talk a little bit about the meet. Where do you see the favorites? I mean, every coach says, it's not, you want to, if you win the district title, that's great, but it's about getting kids down to Omaha. But where are the strong teams on the boys and girls side?
Well, it is getting kids down there, but, every track team really looks back as besides state, they want a district championship. That's a big deal to them. On the boys' side, Shelton is hands down the favorite. They have some strong throwers. Other than that, they're not real strong in the field events, but they do have sprinters all the way up to the 2 mile. They have a few hurdlers, and they could qualify kids all over the place tomorrow. They're hands down the top boys' team. And as far as the girls go, I guess the old adage, it's a toss-up right here. Everybody's got some athletes that are going to qualify, but nobody has tremendous depth. So I've been looking over the heat sheets, and I don't know who's going to win this thing.
Well, that makes it interesting.
And it's great.
That means we should – hopefully that means it's a little balanced. Sometimes that probably means you don't have somebody that's going to contend in Omaha for a state title. But as you look at those heat sheets, what are a couple events that should be very interesting and very competitive tomorrow?
The girls' long jump has two girls from SEM that are out over 16 feet. Those are some good things right there. Shayla Trotter from Arcadia. She's in the 400, the 800, the mile. She has, if she doesn't have the top time in those, she has, the second or third top time. So she should be, very competitive with those. We could go to the Terry girl from Shelton in the mile and the 2 mile. We Loup City girls are leading the 4x8 relay and the 4x4 relay. We just bounce around with things as to different schools leading different events. Elm Creek's got the two pole vaulters, so they're going to pick up points right there. It just bounces from school to school in different events. Pleasanton girls are 1, 2, 3 in the shot put. So it's kind of by event where you have different schools that are kind of dominating things.
We're talking with Paul Henry, track coach of the Loup City Red Raiders, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. You mentioned it just briefly there a little bit. What about your boys and girls squads? Where are you looking to hopefully get some kids to Omaha?
Well, on the girls' side, we put together a few relays. They're always a little guesswork come district time because we don't see a lot of these other schools during the season. But time-wise right now, we're going to be right in the mix for that 4x8 and the 4x4. Elm Creek's got, a nice 4x4 as well and some others. And you never know who's going to load what up right come district time. We also have a girl, Jessica Urick. She's sitting second in the 200. She's a freshman. Morgan McDonald's third in the 400 and second in the triple jump. Then we have and down in the discus, we have Lisa Mendick second there. So if you're in the top three of things, you really have a chance. And that's what we're looking for with the girls. And then when you get to the boys, really we have to start with Riley Lambrick. He's state champion in the returning state champion in the triple jump. He's been banged up. We've been babying him along. He's been, you know, taking things easy. And we should be on track. Just last week he set a personal best in the long jump at 21-1. So he's right on track for the two jumps. We got Brady Rasmussen in the high jump and the 100 and the 200, and he's sitting in the top two or three in all those. And then probably one of the hardest workers I've ever been around, Austin Bocart. He's set for that 800, and he's leading that right now. But you got Clayton Stopcott from Shelton, and you got a freshman Hadwiger kid from Amherst, and you know, they're just going to turn them loose and see what happens. But weather-wise, it should be a great day for it.
Well, Paul, we always like to talk about the kids a little bit here, and I mean, let's face it. Sometimes, if you're not necessarily winning state championships, great kids don't get the pub that they deserve. And you guys have had a very competitive season with your boys, especially. And Riley Lambrecht is a reason for that. Here's one of those, as Bob Jensen likes to call it every once in a while, a true diamond in the rough. This is one of the great athletes that Loup City has seen.
Oh, since I've been here for 15 years, Riley ranks right up in the top five of anything I've seen here. He comes in at a skinny little 5'9" freshman. had trouble even getting the basketball to the rim from three-point land, but he got it there. And then he's grown up into a young man. He's hit the weight room, and you know, his athleticism really, really started to shine last year. And then state track was a great stepping stone for him, and he's walking on for track at Nebraska, and you know, he's set himself up for really nice things, whether the track works out or not. He's just become a very fine young man over these years.
Are the kids itching to get out of school?
Oh, this is this right now is the last day for our seniors, and you got me right now on the phone during my senior government class, so that's a little edgy right there, leaving them in a classroom here for a second.
Well, I better let you get back there before they turn the whole school upside down a little bit on their final day. But Paul will be up there tomorrow doing reports all day. Always appreciate the time, and look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow.
Doug, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow, and bring some nice weather.
Oh, no doubt, buddy. We'll do it. Take care. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Paul Henry, track coach at Loup City, where the D7 meet is being held tomorrow. Other Class D meets that involve teams from the listening area would include the D4 is over at Cross County. The D5 is at Kennesaw with reports on the Breeze 94.5 FM. There's a few kids in the listening area that head up to O'Neill for the D6. Of course, Loup City has the D7. And the teams there, again, are Amherst, Arcadia, Elm Creek, Loup City, Overton, Pleasanton, Shelton, SEM, and Twin Loop. At the D8 at Cambridge, it's Alma, Arapahoe, Axtell, Bertrand, Cambridge, Elwood, Eustace, Farnham, Loomis, Southwest, and Wilcox, Hildreth. And then there is a D9 up at Broken Bow, South Loop, among the teams that are competing there. The Class A meets tomorrow. Of course, Kearney and Grand Island will be going up to Norfolk. They're in the same district. They will be at the A2 meet. Then the B and the C coming up on Thursday. And as we said, C10 is at Southern Valley. That's where I'll be on Classic Hits 98.9. C9 is at Sandy Creek. That's where Mike will be on the Breeze 94.5 FM. Some other Class C schools from the listening area will be headed to the C8, which Ord is hosting. And that's most of the teams in our area. In the Class B field, the one that houses and hosts most of the area teams includes the B5. That will be at Lexington High School, and that goes on Thursday. Also, Hastings High, don't want to overlook that. They go to Millard South. They're heading to Buell Stadium for the A4. Tomorrow. We will take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we're going to talk with Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, Jeremy Jensen, Grand Island soccer coach. Tim Flaherty will join us next, senior executive with the USGA, previewing the U.S. Senior Open at the Omaha Country Club.
Hi, it's the Herd. Mother's Day is here. There's still time to order all the moms in your life something that's memorable and delicious. My favorite, Fannie Mae berries. Large, juicy strawberries. Dipped in rich Fannie Mae chocolate. Don't be fooled by the other dipped berries. They're not dipped in real chocolate all the time. Fannie Mae berries uses premium 100% chocolate, dipped and shipped within 24 hours. They're always fresh. I've had several boxes. These are as good as anything I've ever had. Available only until Tuesday. Here's a special offer from Fannie Mae Berries. Order a half dozen decadent strawberries dipped in dark milk and white chocolate. I prefer the dark. For only $19.99. And for just $10 more, you can make it a full dozen. But you gotta order by Tuesday to have it delivered in time for Mother's Day. Go to fmberries.com. That's F as in Fannie, M as in May, berries.com. Click on the mic, upper right side, enter Colin. fmberries.com.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Nebraska Danger continue their road swing by traveling to Green Bay to battle the blizzard on Friday night. The Nebraska baseball team travels to Minneapolis to take on Big Ten leading Minnesota starting Friday afternoon. The Nebraska softball team will host the Big Ten Championships beginning Thursday morning at 11:30. The Huskers' first game is Friday night at 7 against the Michigan State Purdue winner. The championship is set for Sunday. The Hastings College softball team begins playing the NAIA National Tournament on Monday. The State High School Soccer Tournament begins on Wednesday. Grand Island boys play Papillion La Vista South at 9. Kearney plays Millard West at 3. On Thursday, Hastings and Gretna boys at 6. Lexington and South Sioux City at 8. And on Friday, the Class B girls, Holdridge and Omaha Scud at 1. Hastings and Columbus SCOTUS at 3. Class A and D district track meets are Wednesday, B and C on Thursday. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area today, along with some scattered showers and a few thunder showers around as well, with highs in the mid-60s. Southeast winds stay at 10 to 15. Tonight, we'll head back to 51 for a low. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 57.
Show here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. They don't like doing it, but every once in a while, Mother Nature throws a little hail on them. And right now, they are in the middle of a hail sale on all new vehicles. Customers will receive rebates, your normal Midway discount, and of course, a hail discount on those that apply. All 1.9% for 72 months with approved credit on all new Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Midway's the only one doing this, folks. No one else is giving you the 1.9% for 72 months with approved credit. Now, we had just a slight dusting of hail, but the discounts are substantial on many of the vehicles. So check them out at South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or online, Midway. It is a better way. ThinkMidway.com. During their hail sale at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Of course, yesterday I was in Omaha for Media Day for the 2013 U.S. Senior Open, which will be played at the Omaha Country Club. Great day. Defending champion Roger Chapman was on hand, as well as a lot of dignitaries with Omaha and the USGA. Now, the senior director for the USGA is Tim Flaherty. We got a chance to catch up with him and have a short interview about what they thought of Omaha, what they think of the field, and how did Omaha ever get on the radar to host the 2013 event?
Sure. We were down at the 2006 U.S. Senior Open was at Prairie Dunes in Hutchinson, Kansas. And I was just actually out watching golf, driving by on a practice round, and I stopped, and there was a guy putting on the green, and a guy named Patrick Duffy came over and introduced himself and said, you know, I'm from Omaha Country Club. We just had a major renovation. And I perked up a little bit because Omaha's always been on my radar. We had a hugely successful event in Des Moines in 99. You know, when Patrick started talking about the golf course has been improved, it's been lengthened, I perked up because Omaha, as I said, has always been on my mind. So, and it went from there. I came out that fall, met with Patrick. Jim Hyler was chairman of the championship committee. He was our president last year, but at that time, I talked to him a little bit about it, and Jeff Hall came out and checked the golf course, and that was it. It was pretty much fast-tracked. We were real happy with everything right off the bat.
Of course, many courses vie for every USGA event. What are you looking for, Tim, when you are selecting a course for a U.S. Senior Open like the Omaha Country Club?
Yeah, the golf course, we're looking for the toughest test we can find. You know, these players, you know, don't make no doubt, these players are very good players. You're talking about Bernhard Langer. You know, Fred Couples was in contention at the Masters right through Sunday. So it's a high level of play. We're looking for a stern test, a fair test. But you look at a lot of different things as well on the golf course. But really, you're looking for a fair test that you know that you can present a real challenge for the best players. We pride ourselves that players know that this is going to be the toughest test they face on the Champions Tour for the year. They know that. They know the golf courses we go to. They expect that, and we try to deliver that.
Of course, Champions Run has held the Cox Classic for a number of years, and there's some great courses in the city of Omaha. Were there even any other courses in the city under consideration besides the Omaha Country Club?
Well, we operate, we accept invitations from clubs. So Patrick and I had some discussions. We came out and looked at it. I told Patrick the committee would probably view it very positive, and they issued an invitation to us. So we only go to courses where we're invited. So
yeah. This is the only one?
And Omaha sent us an invitation, and we followed up on it, and that's how it happened.
Is it a gamble to take a course for the first time, a new venue?
Well, look, we got Jeff Hall, who's been working at the USGA for over 20 years. Jeff does an excellent job. He knows these players very well. He knows their ability levels. I think, you know, Jeff is very much a part of the discussion. You know, the discussion with a senior open site really starts with the golf course. If the golf course isn't there, it doesn't matter what I'm telling people about the market or the membership or any of those things. It's got to be Jeff, you know, giving the course the blessing. And Jeff really felt like, you know, Jeff, again, he was here. And he loved the course. He loved the lay. As he said, we both kind of had the same reaction. We were coming to Omaha, Nebraska. We were expecting flat, the prairie. You know, we're from the Northeast. We just have a vision in Nebraska. And you come out here and you see these holes with the topography. And we really fell in love with it right off the bat. And we had no doubts that this can we still have no doubts that this will provide the appropriate test. Jeff's very good at what he does.
And as far as expanding the game of golf, how important is it to expand the venues that you take your championships in new states, new cities?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. We've had great success with the Senior Open, you know, Hutchinson, Kansas, Toledo, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, in some markets that aren't necessarily New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. But it does give us a good opportunity to spread the game and to spread in the USGA. You know, kids 17 and under free. We want as many kids out here as we can get to try to grow the game and try to help the game. But these off markets, I shouldn't say off markets, but these smaller markets work really well for us. And it does give us a great opportunity to extend the USGA message.
Chatting with Tim Flaherty. He is the senior director for the USGA as they get ready for the Omaha Country Club to host the 2013 U.S. Senior Open. Tim, is there a difference picking a course or setting up a course for a U.S. Open as compared to a U.S. Senior Open?
Sure. I mean, the Senior Open is different. The Men's Open, obviously, the test is tougher and sterner. With the Senior Open, you need to be a little bit careful. You've got about 75 to 80 Champions Tour players. After that, we have about 70 to 75 qualifiers. It's an 18-hole qualifier. Of that group, you know, you'll get some lifelong club professionals. You'll get 20 to 30 amateur players. So Jeff has a very difficult task on Thursday, Friday. He's got the best players in the world. He's got Fred Couples and Tom Lehman and Bernhard Langer playing the course. You've also got some amateurs at the other end of the field. So we need to make it playable for Thursday, Friday. It'll get a little tougher on the weekend, but the setup, you know, for the Senior Open, it's again, as I said earlier, it's the toughest test on the Champions Tour. But we are cognizant of the fact that half of our field are not regular tour players, and Jeff plans accordingly.
Of course, the Omaha Country Club plays to just under 6,800 yards, a shorter course. Does length come into play when you're planning for a senior event?
I think there may be a perception that these older guys are not hitting the ball very far. They hit the ball far. They hit the ball far. So, but you're right. I mean, a place like Omaha Country Club, they're not going to be overwhelmed with length there. It's a great set of Maxwell greens. And I think that's the defense of the golf course. The bunkering is great. You know, it looks a lot like Southern Hills. You stand on the par threes and you see Southern Hills or Colonial Maxwell courses. So I think you're right. I think the defense will be the greens and some of the surrounds around the green.
Senior Director of the USGA, Tim Flaherty, with us for just another question here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get ready for the U.S. Senior Open. Tim, obviously, when the tour started, Arnold Palmer, then eventually Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Lee Trevino, so many big names. Now we're seeing guys that we grew up with that dominated on the PGA Tour, and as you mentioned, Fred Couples, Colin Montgomery. Renewed interest in the senior event, the senior tour, or has it always kind of stayed at the same level?
Sure. Well, look, the Senior Open, we've had tremendous success. We've again, we sort of keep breaking records, you know. Look, we internally, we had concerns when Jack Nicklaus stopped playing, when Arnold, you know, we had Arnold playing right up through 05. Jack had some injuries. His last was 03 in Toledo, Ohio. But, you know, Arnold played right through to 05. there were always concerns about that, but that has not, it has not slowed down. I mean, it's evidenced by the results we're seeing here with record-breaking corporate support, over 2 million in ticket sales. There's a lot of interest in these players. Again, a guy like Freddie Couples came on the tour. His first senior open was 2010. We played that in Seattle, his hometown. He and Longer were in the last group the last 2 days. Freddie had a little triple bogey, unfortunately, on the second hole. But we had tremendous crowds there. There was tremendous interest. Had a lot to do with Couples. So there's always names coming in. You know, Colin Montgomery filed an entry the other day. That's a big name for golf. He's an interesting personality in golf. He's had a lot of success in golf. So the players keep coming. You know, and the game is bigger than one name or two names. The game is always going to continue, and there's great players. But the game's much bigger than one or two players.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings. The sun is finally shining, the weather's straightening out, and we're celebrating with an all-new summer salads menu. We've traveled the world via the internet, tasting recipes from all corners, and now it's your turn to enjoy the new summer salad menu. And 12 beers on tap, including the summer favorite, Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy, at HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, it's the Herd. Mother's Day is here. There's still time to order all the moms in your life something that's memorable and delicious. My favorite, Fannie Mae berries. Large, juicy strawberries dipped in rich Fannie Mae chocolate. Don't be fooled by the other dipped berries. They're not dipped in real chocolate all the time. Fannie Mae berries uses premium 100% chocolate, dipped and shipped within 24 hours. They're always fresh. I've had several boxes. These are as good as anything I've ever had. Available today only. Here's a special offer from Fannie Mae Berries. Order a half dozen decadent strawberries dipped in dark milk and white chocolate. I prefer the dark. For only $19.99. And for just $10 more, you can make it a full dozen. But you gotta order by tonight to have it delivered in time for Mother's Day. Go to fmberries.com. That's F as in Fannie, M as in May, berries.com. Click on the mic, upper right side, enter Colin. fmberries.com, enter Colin.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area today, along with some scattered showers and a few thunder showers around as well, with highs in the mid-60s. Southeast winds stay at 10 to 15. Tonight, we'll head back to 51 for a low. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 57.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget the fourth annual Loper Backers Dinner and Scholarship Fundraiser is tonight in Kearney at the Kearney Holiday Inn and Unis Conference Center. The evening starts at 5:30 with a social hour, followed by dinner, silent auction, which is at 7, the live auction at around 7:45, and price for admission, $35, includes dinner and your bidder number, and all the money raised goes to football scholarships and to help the Lopers compete in the MIAA. Last year's event saw record attendance with over 600 in on hand to support Loper football scholarships. A few of the auction items, an Orlando, Florida timeshare for 1 week use in 2014, the old lease of Loper, where you get a group of four Loper football players will come to your location to complete any of your chores. They've got some jewelry. They've got the Prairie Club golf trip, some great golf up at Valentine, luxury townhome stay in Winter Park, Colorado, a College World Series package. How about some of the things they have autographed? A Peyton Manning Broncos autographed helmet, a Muhammad Ali autographed boxing gloves, LeBron James autographed Miami Heat jersey. That's big time. Peyton Manning, LeBron James, Muhammad Ali. Those are just a few of the items that they'll be auctioning off tonight. Fourth annual Loper Backers Dinner and Scholarship Fundraiser. Again, social time begins at 5:30, and then the meal at 7 o'clock at the Eunice Convention Center going on in Kearney. Hope you can make it out. Let's do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, folks. How about that? Right now, it's Tuesday. It's Troutman's. And it is grill season. Great brats, great steaks, aged a minimum of 30 days. The only USDA Choice certified Angus beef is served at Troutman's. A $25 gift card. Call now, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We'll ask a trivia question. The first person to get it right takes home the $25 gift card from Troutman's Quality Meats. Let's go to the phone lines and get this week's underway. Who are we chatting with?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, you ever heard of Tommy Frazier?
I think so, yeah.
Well, just less than an hour ago, he was officially inducted, or said that he will be inducted, into the College Football Hall of Fame. He made his first start against which football team? Tommy Frazier's first start at Nebraska was against who?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I'm not for sure.
Okay.
Too long.
All right, try back, Mike. Let's stay with the phone lines here at 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
Matt.
Matt, who was the first team that Tommy Frazier started at quarterback against?
West Virginia.
Not West Virginia. Try back. 888-455. That was the start of the 1994 National Championship season, though. The first kind of classic, or one of the classics they had out there in East Rutherford. It is Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Troy.
Who was the first team that Tommy Frazier started against at Nebraska?
Was it Missouri?
It was Missouri. Missouri is the correct answer. Didn't take very long. Good one. Let's have you hold on the line. We'll get you a $25 gift card.
Thanks, Doug.
You bet. Yeah, it was Missouri. Nebraska 4-1 under Mike Grant to start that 1992 season. They beat Utah. They beat Middle Tennessee State. They lost to Washington. Frazier got in that game. Then they beat Arizona State and Oklahoma State. But then Tommy got the start against Missouri, a 34-24 victory. And ironically, Frazier's first loss then would have been that debacle at Iowa State when, was it Todd Doxson? Was that the guy's name? 19-10 that kind of derailed what was a heck of a finish to the football season there. And then Nebraska eventually lost to Florida State in the 1993 Orange Bowl. That's with Charlie Ward, 27-14. Nebraska finished up 14th in the country that season, going 9-3, then 11-1. 13-0, 12-0, and Tommy Frazier going in to the College Football Hall of Fame. So he's not the only one going in. Let's give you some of the other names that you may recognize. Teddy Bruschi, of course, made a name for himself, winning world championships with the New England Patriots. He was a defensive end out of Arizona from 92 to 95. Heisman Trophy winning running back Ron Dayne from Wisconsin, he's going in. Orlando Pace, big old offensive tackle from the mid-90s from Ohio State. He'll be going in. Rod Schoate, who played in the early 70s for Oklahoma, linebacker from 72 to 74. He's going in. The outstanding linebacker from Michigan State, Percy Snow, is going in. Quarterback Danny Werfel from Florida is going into the College Football Hall of Fame. And it was also announced yesterday, of course, that Vinny Testaverde is going in. Also quarterback Don Troll of Baylor from the early 60s going in. So a class of four quarterbacks are going in to the College Football Hall of Fame, and we'll talk with Steve Sipple about that here in just a little bit. Two coaches are going in. Bill McCartney is one of them, Coach Colorado from 82 to 94, and Bill McCartney going in to the College Football Hall of Fame. Wayne Harden, who coached at Navy and Temple, is also going into the College Football Hall of Fame as a coach. And now, this will take forever. The banquet is like in December, then they'll talk about it next spring. They have to go to like 27 different things. You go, wait a minute, aren't they in yet? Weren't they already put? What? You'll hear about this like four more times over the next 18 months. But congratulations, Tommy Frazier, Husker quarterback from 92 to 95, going into the College Football Hall of Fame. Take a look at a couple of other items here while we hook up with Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star. Tommy will be addressing the media a little bit later today in Lincoln. The NBA and the NHL playoffs continue tonight. Indiana's at New York, Memphis at Oklahoma City for the NBA and the NHL. Montreal's at Ottawa, Pittsburgh's at the Islanders, Chicago's at Minnesota, and Vancouver is at San Jose. The Nebraska baseball team fell to Indiana yesterday, so they're now third in the conference, but they do go to league-leading Minnesota coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Also, Nebraska football this season will start with two evening games. They will host Wyoming in the season opener at 7 o'clock, and the following week they'll host a 5 o'clock kickoff. That is a different kickoff time against Southern Miss. Those games will be on the Big 10 Network. Nebraska volleyball, depleted by graduation and injuries and transfers, has finally got a little help here. Mary Pohlmiller is leaving Tennessee to join the Huskers. She was the 2011 SEC Freshman of the Year, and she'll maybe be able to move into that center role. She has 2 years of eligibility remaining. And Nebraska softball hosting the Big 10 tournament coming up this week. It'll start on Thursday with four games, and then the Huskers will take on the winner of Michigan State and Purdue coming up on Thursday or Friday night at 7 o'clock is the first game for the Nebraska softball team. This is a single elimination tournament. Games are going to be on the Big Ten Network. If Nebraska wins on Friday, their semifinal is Saturday at 4:30, and the championship is Sunday at 12 noon. Tri-City Storm, USHL draft yesterday. They'd already inked Tori Dello, a defenseman out of Crystal Lake, Illinois. So their first selection was Matt Freetag out of Wayzata High School in Minnesota. And for Matt, he was a 22-goal, 15-assist man in 31 games. The second phase for the Storm begins this afternoon at 4 o'clock. All fans are invited to come out and be part of the draft. There's going to be a barbecue from 4 to 7. Come out. See the coaches, get some inside information on these futures that the Storm will be drafting today, beginning at 4 o'clock at the Viero Event Center. Well, the state soccer tournament will kick off tomorrow morning, and the very first game will be in the Class A boys at 9 a.m. Grand Island will take on Papillion La Vista South, and we welcome back to the program head coach of the Islanders, Jeremy Jensen. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
Well, great to have you back on here, and let's start with the dirt and go to the good stuff. This is kind of the same spot you guys were in last year, and I know when we talked with you earlier this season, we talked about the disappointment and maybe a little bit of the drive that put forward this year. What's the sense mentally that you're getting, and what's the last couple of practices been like for your crew?
I'll tell you, my guys, I've never seen them as focused as they were last night at practice. You know, they understand the situation. It kind of feels like Groundhog Day in a way, you know, with the draw and everything, with the rematch against Papio South. And, you know, they felt, obviously, that they didn't do as well as they could have last year. And so they're really excited to get down there and play. And I will promise you that there's no chance that they're looking forward to anybody else or looking past Papillion South. So I think we're in pretty good shape for tomorrow's game.
Tell the fans out there the differences between the two teams from last year's state matchup to this year's.
In terms of our team or both teams?
Both teams, if you could.
You know, I honestly, guys, I don't know a whole lot about Papio South. I mean, they went through a rough stretch during the middle of the season, but I believe they won their last seven games of the season to get into that tournament, and they beat a very good Kearney team in that district final to get in. So You know, we know that they're going to be they're a big, fast, physical team. So, you know, we expect to obviously get their best shot. They're going to come in, I'm sure, believing that they can do it because a lot of those kids obviously did it last year. And so, you know, we're going to have to make sure we play well. Our team, on the other side of it, you know, we're more experienced than we were last year at this point in time. And so I think that's going to be a real big help to us.
Grand Island soccer coach Jeremy Jensen with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Just looking at the numbers, even with the win total that they have, Papio seems to really want to grind the game out. There's only been one game that they've scored more than two goals in the entire season, and that has not been a problem for you guys scoring goals.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key for us, really in about any game, but I think as much tomorrow is to put pressure early on them and try to get a lead. And you know, teams have traditionally over the last few years tried to bunker in a little bit against us at different times in the game. And so, you know, in a state tournament, it doesn't matter. You know, you're not looking for style points. You're just looking for the win. And so we want to make sure that, you know, if we can get off to a fast start and get up on them, you know, in the next, you know, in the first 15, 20 minutes or so of the game, that's certainly going to change how the game is played. If it stays 0-0 or, you know, we would happen to fall behind early on, that really changes, I think, how, you know, they would probably play us. And so we want to make sure that, you know, getting that fast start is a real critical thing.
Well, I will let you say the last names because I want to make sure I get them right here. But Lucas Venegas, 26 goals for you this season, a senior forward. Talk about his play.
He's tremendous. I mean, he's in my eyes, the, you know, obviously, I think the best playmaker in the state. He's a small guy, doesn't stand real tall, but incredibly strong on the ball, very fast, very shifty, and just has a knack for scoring. And, you know, that's something that you can't teach. And, you know, I really expect him to be the state player of the year this year, and just tremendous, tremendous talent.
And then in goal, Daniel Barrera has made 39 saves and only given up 5 goals. And both of your tight games this year came against Lincoln Southwest. So was it something they did, or have you also had plenty of other challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Lincoln Southwest is certainly a very talented team. The fact that they're not in the state tournament is really a big surprise. You know, Danny's over the course of the year, Danny hasn't had to make a whole lot of difficult saves. The guys in front of him have just played fantastic. And then when Danny has been called on, you know, he's had several really big saves over the course of the year. But, you know, what we try to teach our goalkeepers is that good goalkeepers make great saves, but great goalkeepers don't have to make a lot of saves because they're controlling the guys in front of them. They're communicating, they're coming out off their line using their feet. And so, you know, if we have a goalkeeper that stands back there in between the pipes and lets people shoot on him, you know, and makes great saves, that's one thing. But for the way we want to play, we just flat out don't want to allow shots against us. And, you know, we've spent the better part of 5 years just kind of really developing that with our guys. You know, they constantly are hollering, no shot, no shot, when the attacking team is anywhere remotely close to us, and it amps up their, you know, excitement. But you know, I think Danny, if memory serves me correctly, I think he's only had to make 36 saves this year, and so, you know, that's not even 3 a game, and that's a real credit to him controlling everything in front of him, and you know, our back guys just playing phenomenally.
Last minute here with Jeremy Jensen, Grand Island soccer coach. 9 a.m. That's a little rare start time. If you play a little quad on Saturday, you get some morning soccer here. But I know you can't play it on paper because the kids know what happened last year. But Papio doesn't even have one kid that has scored more than 3 goals all season long. You've got a guy that scored 26, another one that scored 12. So let's see if the Islanders can get into that semifinal. And a lot of the coaches, including right here in Kearney, says the line kind of draws in the sand. South, you guys prep. Is that the way you see it?
Realistically, yeah. I mean, I really do. I think that any of those 3 teams are capable of winning the state championship. I, you know, realistically, I think that any of those three teams are obviously, you know, there's a possibility for an upset as well. I think it will be a really difficult task for anybody other than those three to actually win a championship, because you know, having to get three times, you know, say for instance Papio South would happen to beat us, more than likely they get to draw Prep the next round, and then if they had happened to win that, they'd have to be the South team. So I mean, it's just I mean to make a long story short, I think that those three teams are certainly the front runners, and you know, if somebody catches a little bit of lightning in a bottle and can win a couple of games, it's certainly a possibility, but that's the expectation, I think.
All right, Jeremy, we'll say it again. There's only one way that we can get this Kearney Grand Island game played this year. I think we all know how that is.
I think Scott and I would be incredibly happy to see that happen, and I just can't even dream about how cool that would be to have two of our teams, you know, from out here in western Nebraska to or central Nebraska, but western according to the folks in the metro area, to have us have a chance to play in Omaha and with the rivalry that we have. And you know, Scott's a good friend of mine, so it'd be incredibly neat to do.
Well, Jeremy, best of luck, and hopefully we can chat with you next Monday before the state final.
I hope so as well.
Hey, take care, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Jeremy Jensen of Grand Island joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It is a full show, so let's take a break. We expect Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, to join us to talk College Football Hall of Fame. Tommy Frazier is in. We'll be right back.
Lose 30 pounds in only 3 weeks? Really? If you're frustrated with outrageous weight loss promises, Complete Nutrition is about to change that. Try Refirm, the first ever and only weight loss product on the market that actually shrinks fat cells.
This is Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm. Refirm does something you've never experienced. It actually shrinks fat cells, and that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells. Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, visit your Complete Nutrition store to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Wendy's presents The Millionaire.
Pardon me, miss, what is that sandwich?
Oh, my grilled chicken flatbread?
Simply top shelf.
Yeah, Asiago cheese, warm flatbread.
I'll give you $100. I can call my lawyer now.
Oh, actually, it's from Wendy's.
Wendy's, so no legal fees. Bully.
Introducing new flatbread grilled chicken sandwiches from Wendy's. Warm, multigrain flatbread in delicious flavors like Asiago ranch and smoky honey mustard.
Mmm, superb.
Now that's better.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time.
Baa baa black sheep, have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area today, along with some scattered showers and a few thunder showers around as well, with highs in the mid-60s. Southeast winds stay at 10 to 15. Tonight, we'll head back to 51 for a low. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 57.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. We have talked a lot about the world of sports today. One thing that I saw that kind of caught my eye is that CBS will no longer have the Final Four of the NCAA men's basketball tournament every year. CBS and Turner Sports said the national semifinals will air on TBS in 2014 and 2015. What? Under the 14-year deal the company signed in 2010, CBS and TBS will alternate broadcasting the entire Final Four after that. TBS will have it in 2016 and CBS in 2017. TBS will also begin airing two of the four regional finals starting next season, which had all been on CBS. The two companies recently completed their third year of the Crown. What? What is CBS going to be airing in its place? Would you lose the golf? Did you lose the late season golf? I mean, what? How in the world did you sign? What? I just can't even believe when I just saw that. CBS giving up, since there is not yet the football playoff, the biggest event in collegiate sports, the men's NCAA basketball tournament and Final Four. That means more promos for Family Guy. Woo! Here's Conan. Woo! Will they get to keep the same announcers? Will the quality be the same? Unbelievable. Who is TBS sleeping with? That's what I got to say. How in the world did they get that?
Well, good thing is you'll be able to see 60 minutes at its regularly scheduled time.
Yeah, the semifinals are on Saturday, though. So, yeah, but you're right. The regionals, yeah, we could be screwed up there. But you got to be kidding me. That's incredible. That is incredible. So I don't know what the world's going on. That's just crazy, man. I just one of those things that kind of made the jaw drop when you picked it up and you read it and you go, huh? Why, who, what, when, where, why, how? Unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, I mean, we know it, but another young man that is getting a lot of accolades, and because he should, Riley Reinertsen fires an 8-under-par 64, and I know it was a great day yesterday. I don't care. This kid's a junior in high school. 8-under-par 64. Now, again, there are a lot of high school kids across the country that could shoot that at Indian Head or a variety of golf courses. But what Riley's doing growing up in the state of Nebraska just continues to be astonishing to not only me, but a lot of the folks that cover sports and have for a long, long time. Ryan Milks has got to be going, would you graduate? Milks shoots a 69, and he finishes second by 5. 69 in the conference tournament, that'd win it probably almost every other year. Gibbon wins it by 42 shots. So congratulations to the Buffaloes. And a very busy man, so we'll get right to him. Giving us a couple of minutes, Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Sip, thanks, buddy. How are you?
Hey, you know what? I'm not that busy. honestly, I lost my phone. That's why I'm a little late. It was liberating, but then I realized I got to figure out how to find this. I just found it, so I'm ready to go here.
Well, Tommy Frazier, let's start there. That's what we wanted, obviously, to talk to you about. The word kind of leaked yesterday that he was pretty much for sure going to be in, which gave you some time to put a couple of stories out there. But Nebraska fans, not the only ones that thought this was long overdue.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know what, I don't get all wrapped up in that too much. Yeah, it's overdue, but I can think of some greater injustices in the world. he's in, and it was time. And if it would have went a few more years, I think it would have been a problem. I mean, because he's the best option quarterback of all time. I mean, I'd say Jamel Holloway would be a guy you'd look at, Darian Hagan, Turner Gill. But I think Tommy, as a pure option guy, was better than any of those guys.
When you look at the list, I guess, again, I knew this, but when you see it in front of you, Tommy's the first Nebraska quarterback to go into the College Football Hall of Fame. Do you consider him the best quarterback that ever played at Nebraska now?
Right? Yeah, I do. Turner and Eric obviously were great players. But Tommy, you know, he had the whole package, and meaning that he's 33-3. I think Turner's record was obviously really good, too. Eric didn't have the benefit of playing for teams that were as strong and for offenses that were strong. Thing about Tommy, just look at his offensive lines. I mean, it's no wonder he was confident all the time. Hell, I would have been pretty confident behind that bunch. But Tommy, it was his toughness, I think, his toughness and his leadership and his just aura separate him, I would say, from either Eric or Turner. Not that those guys weren't tough, but I think Tommy kind of took it to another level. He was really prickly. He was very demanding of himself, but he's also demanding of his teammates. Never a captain, but it's strange. He was, because he was well-respected, but he wasn't popular. He didn't care about it. He didn't care about being popular. But I remember him as a very, very hard-nosed, tough leader.
Talking with Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star here, and folks need to remember that basically when you look at his numbers, that was three football seasons. He didn't start until the sixth game of his freshman year, and of course, because of the blood clots, missed a significant portion of another year out there. I mean, you put some of those numbers out there, they would never be touched, would they?
No, you know what? I don't look at numbers that well, that closely. I don't want to make it – I try not to make it a numbers game all the time. I mean, obviously they figure into somewhere into it. But, I mean, how can you compare the numbers, for instance, of Tommy and Eric, where Eric was asked to do so much? Tommy didn't have to do so much. I mean, he had Lawrence Phillips. He just had more around him. And they, you know, they ran a little different systems or different systems. So I always hesitate. For instance, I mean, really, how do you compare Tommy to Jamel Holloway or Tommy to Thomas Lye? Because those offenses were different. They're asking those guys to do different things. So I don't really look at the numbers with Tommy. I look at him as a football player, and he was the great one. I mean, he was so the word that I always go back to is tough, and also the words, I guess, and intelligent and savvy, in addition to being a pretty good athlete. Not, you know, he wasn't a crazy good athlete, but he got everything he could out of Wade Adams.
There's a nice nugget on Husker Extra, folks, if you go to journalstar.com, that Sip put up this morning about how the coaches, Kevin Steele and Coach Osborne, right after losing to Miami, went down to Bradenton and talked to Tommy. And this was about the time you started covering the Huskers as well for the Journal Star. Sip, as you, over the years, hear that story time and time again, what do you take away from it? Was Tommy close to going to any other school? I know he had him on the radar, but did Nebraska almost lose this kid?
No, I mean, I talked to Tom about it this morning, and Tom remembered that he was considering Notre Dame, Colorado, and maybe South Carolina. The Florida schools weren't interested in him in Tommy as a quarterback, and Tommy wasn't interested in playing for the Florida schools that didn't want him as a quarterback. He wanted to play quarterback. Now, Tom, when they drove up, Bradenton's 3.5 hours away from Miami, so they had to get up and make quite a trek, Kevin Steele and Tom, after that. And Tom, it was interesting talking to him. He said, after getting beat by Miami like that, or after getting beat by anybody like that, 22-0, you know, he said he just don't feel like doing anything. But he said we had to go recruit. He said that on film, Tommy, it jumped out at him. And it's on the blog that Tommy just ran their offense at Manatee in a manner that was perfectly suited for Nebraska. So, you know, I mean, Tom kind of plays. I said, Tom, how bad did you need him? And he said, well, I mean, you know, Tom, you've got to play that. They're going to say you never hope you're in a position where you have to rely on one guy. But it helped having Tommy. And it's always interesting listening to Tom in retrospect. He said Tommy was very good from the moment he got there. Tommy thought he should be starting, you know, right from the start. And it took till, you know, I think about midway through the season, I guess, before he took over. But Tommy thought he should have been out there earlier. And the other interesting thing, talking to a few offensive linemen yesterday, was those offensive linemen, those veteran guys in 92, they gave the team to Tommy. I mean, they said, this is your team. Now think about that. He's just a kid coming in. But that's what I mean about Tommy. He's had that. I mean, he's so confident. He projects confidence. He's tough. And, you know, guys like, I mean, we're talking about Will Shields and Zach Weir, Fedichka, you know, Lance Lundberg was a good player. Those guys said to Tommy, hey, you got to take this over now. And Tommy did it.
Steve Sipple with us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Does Frazier ever talk about the time that he didn't get to play when you've chatted with him years now that we've passed?
No, I've never talked to him about it. I'm sure Tommy would talk about it, because Tommy will talk about anything. He's very opinionated. and he always has been. I mean, Tommy was like that back then. He was prickly, but no, I've never talked to him about that. I've talked to him about a lot of things, but never that.
I guess we have to assume that Eric Crouch would be the next Husker in line to go in. Are there a couple guys, and I know Trev's on the ballot, are there a couple guys you'd like to see get a crack, or are all the old Huskers kind of picked over by now?
Crouch, definitely I'd like to see. I think Trev, in my opinion, is worthy, but I just don't see much hope for him. Because I just don't think his name is big enough. You know, he didn't do much in the NFL. He's you know, it's too much time has passed. So that I just don't think that'll happen for him. But I think Eric, I mean, come on. I mean, Eric's got to go in. I mean, and he will. You know, Eric will go in, and he's very worthy. I can't think of anybody. I mean, Sue. I mean, it's. That there's got to be more time passes, but I would think that Sue would be the guy that would be considered, and I don't know who else. There nobody comes to mind. Barrett Rood would be. He was a great player, probably the second best linebacker, or maybe the best linebacker to play here, but I just don't think he rises to that level.
Sip got an email here from Tony. Wants to know, when is Lance Thorell eligible? our buddy Lance, we love him.
Hey, Lance is a good player, but I don't think he raises that level either. Well, I'll put him in the category with Barrett Rood. How's that?
There you go.
I got to be careful. But you know what I'm saying.
Buddy. Well, I know you're probably heading off to the 1 o'clock press conference, so we'll let you get going. And always appreciate the time, Sip. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Take care. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Here was the announcement. Reese Davis was emceeing ESPN College Football. Reese Davis with the announcement on Tommy Frazier this morning.
In the early 90s, under Tom Osborne, this guy was a dominant force at quarterback. From the University of Nebraska, Tommy Frazier. He steered the Cornhuskers to back-to-back perfect national championship seasons in 1994 and 95. First team All-American in 95. He won the Johnny Unitas Award and finished as the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy and was named the Big 8 Player of the Year in 1995. Four straight times, Nebraska went to bowl games. He claimed MVP honors in the 95 Orange and 96 Fiesta Bowl. And he set a conference record with a 33-3 overall career record as a starter. He becomes the 16th Cornhusker to enter the College Football Hall of Fame. And wait, he just broke another Gator tackle in the Fiesta Bowl. Tommy Frazier from the University of Nebraska.
That's good stuff. Tommy Frazier going in. Let's see, the three losses. That's what everybody's going to remember. As we said, one of them would have been against Iowa State his freshman year, then to Florida State in the national championship game. So 33-3. Am I missing one? Where's the other one? To Florida State in 92 and in 93, both in the bowl game. So Iowa State in two bowl games, and then, of course, back-to-back undefeated seasons the following 2 years. So congratulations, Tommy Frazier, into the College Football Hall of Fame. Well, that's going to wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show. Our Loper Link tomorrow, catching you up to date on UNK athletics. We've got track finishing up with the MIAA outdoor season. And, of course, the golf teams are continuing in the Central Regional play. And hopefully the Loper men, after one day, put themselves in great position, can be right there with a chance to go to the national tournament. District track tomorrow. I'll be talking to you from Loop City. Randy Bushcutter will be in as well. And we want to thank all. Josh Howgie will be with us from Tri-City Storm to recap what's going on with the Storm after they finish up the draft today, plus a little bit on state soccer. Our preview will continue. And we want to thank Jeremy Jensen, Grand Island soccer coach, for joining us today. Loop City track coach Paul Henry. Steve Simple from the Lincoln Journal Star. And Tim Flaherty, senior director of the USGA, in charge of the U.S. Senior Open. All with us today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a great Tuesday, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.